The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
I don't see how the party that says it's the party of the family is going to adopt an immigration policy which destroys families that have been here a quarter century.
This is the epiphany moment. This is the road to Damascus moment for Republicans and conservatives. Newt Gingrich can possibly provide fodder for that epiphany, or for that collective corporate epiphany on behalf of Republicans and conservatives.
I'm proud to say that I managed to get a doctorate in economics, get tenured at a major university, write two books, raise two children, eight foster children, and I have never read a single issue of Ms. Magazine.
If there's no teaching that man is utterly corrupt and deserving God's wrath, then there's certainly no room for the gospel.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues, Etc.
We hear a lot about media bias, and there certainly is enough to go around on both sides. The most dangerous kind of bias is one that's not recognized. The most dangerous kind of assumption, and no journalist can rid him or herself of all their presuppositions, all their assumptions, all their biases. But they try to do their best and remain objective. But if you don't know you have one, it makes it all the more dangerous. We're going to be talking about media coverage of the Roman Catholic liturgical changes. Some of that coverage might betray a bias and assumption on the part of the media about Roman Catholics and maybe even Christians in general. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us here for the first few minutes of the program live this Thursday afternoon, December the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We get it in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. After our conversation with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Adrian Dorr of Lutheran Witness Magazine is going to be joining us. She's written recently about what women wear in church. She raises some rather pointed concerns. So I also want to hear from you. Adrian will be with us to talk about what she's written, and then she'll stick around to take your phone calls, your questions, and your comments on what women wear in church. Some open lines for the remainder of this hour. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can also leave a question, a comment, a reaction on what women wear in church at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great to be here.
You've been looking at some of the media coverage of the changes in the Roman Catholic liturgy. Are there assumptions at work in some of the media about Catholics and Christians in general? If so, what are they?
Oh, there definitely are. And I think, first off, it's really good to note how great it is that this has received media coverage. Liturgy and liturgical changes are very important in the lives of religious adherents, Christians, and they frequently don't get much coverage. So I think, first off, it's worth noting how great it is that it's been covered. The assumptions that we're dealing with, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is I detect this assumption that religious adherents or Christians are stupid. One of the funniest things about the coverage, there was all this breathless coverage of the changes, and a lot of reporters took the approach of saying the liturgy uses very difficult words. And for example, some of the difficult words, the archaic words that are so hard are shall, rot, and thwart. And these are not difficult words at all. In fact, they're, you know, people probably have heard this, that newspapers are written for a fairly low level of education. And those words are included in headlines and copy from newspapers around the country. So we know they're not that difficult because newspapers, when we write for news, we try and write for a lower level of education. And if it's okay for, you know, a sixth grader, I'm sure it's going to be okay for the average Catholic. And I just wonder if they think those words are difficult because they assume that Catholics are stupid or what? Because otherwise it doesn't really make sense that they're so difficult.
How do you assess, I mean, and I agree with you completely, the fact that this is a huge story. I mean, even though the average Protestant may not think so, or the average reporter may not think so, the fact that even small changes are being made in the missal for Roman Catholics worldwide is a huge story. What do you make of the coverage otherwise?
You know, it's just it's been interesting to follow how little a lot of reporters understand the role that liturgy plays. They don't seem to have a very good knowledge of the history of the translation process, you know, what happened in Catholicism post-Vatican II. There have just been a lot of little errors about, you know, what the translation is, where it's coming from. When they talk about the quote-unquote original Latin, they're confused about whether we're talking about a Latin translation from 40 years ago or Latin masses from hundreds of years ago. So I just don't think there's a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of, I think probably the average Catholic who went through catechism knows more than a lot of the reporters that we've seen struggling through these stories. And then, of course, the other thing that's really interesting, and I don't, you know, when you're a reporter, you have to find interesting things to say, and conflict is one of the easiest ways to say something interesting. But it's still worth noting that I think the conflict here has been hyped a little bit more than maybe the reality of the situation. So a lot of the stories take the approach that this is just a really controversial change when maybe it's not actually that controversial. And then another thing that's really interesting to look at, and my boss Terry has noted this, is that usually when the media is writing about change, they're very pro-change. You know, change is just sort of like the de facto good thing. A lot of reporters like to talk about progressive changes, and anyone who's making a change is good, and anyone who's traditional is bad. And in this case, because it's the more Orthodox believers that are advocating a mass and liturgy that are more faithful to the original Latin, since it's traditional people who are advocating change, well, now we're very skeptical of change. And the people who want to retain the Vatican II traditions, well, those traditionalists are the good guys. And so it's just funny to see how the template has been changed on this story.
Are they getting the backstory, especially with respect to the change, that this is something that has been in the works for 10 solid years? This is something that has been implemented so carefully and so slowly, and even the changes themselves have been out there for a year and have taken a year to come to full implementation.
Oh, I don't suppose that that's been terribly well articulated, but you know, these are reporters who are dealing with a lot of stuff in the last year, and they're just, you know, they know it's a story now, and I give them credit for that. This has been well covered, and it's been covered in papers across the country. Do they get all those details? Probably not, but I still think it's worth noting that this is the type of story that easily could have been glossed over, and it hasn't been. I mean, it's been in every major paper, on the nightly news, local papers, national papers, and it's really nice to see that type of coverage for something of this nature.
Two stories that you note from the Washington Post, I believe. One of them has to do with a local Catholic parish that has decided no longer to train girls as altar boys or altar girls, whatever, however you want to put it. What did you find or not find in that coverage?
Well, I thought this was a very interesting story. It was given a high profile. I think it was on the front page one Sunday about how the Arlington Diocese, which only permitted female altar servers like a few years ago, that a parish in the Arlington, Virginia Diocese made a change. They said, we're no longer, if you've already trained as an altar girl, you're fine, but we're no longer going to train. And it was just a very emotional story with these sad tales from two moms who were sick to their stomachs and bursting into tears because their daughters couldn't be altar girls anymore. And what was interesting about this story is that even though the reporter admits this, you know, once this change was made, there was something, I can't remember what it was, like 1,000 families in this parish and only a dozen had any problems with it. So it was a very small percentage of the parish that even cared. And even though we're talking about 1% of a population, they got the entire story. And nobody who supports this move of this parish, even though it's the vast, vast, vast majority of the parish, they weren't quoted at all. And it's just interesting to me that you would have a whole story where you admit that it's, you know, very few people who have a problem with something and that you devote the entire story to it. You know, these all the other families weren't allowed a voice. They weren't allowed to give their, you know, very emotional testimony to what they believe about altar service. And it was just oddly one-sided. And And the headline for the piece said something like, protests of Virginia parishes move away from altar girls reflects wider Catholic debate. But then not one word of debate was included in the piece. It was just very one-sided.
Also in the Washington Post, a recent story about the sexual mores of Mormons. The reporting seemed kind of shocked that there was something to report. Tell us about that with about a minute and a half.
Yeah, so it was a long piece again on Mitt Romney and about how he was hostile to women basically when he was a leader of his local Mormon parish. But what was ridiculous, I thought, about this story was that all the examples painted him as someone who was simply faithful to Mormon teaching. You know, talking about divorce being undesirable, the problems with getting an abortion or something. But it was, again, presented as if he was just having a lot of trouble with women. Now, it is true he was in Boston, and apparently there was a relatively small group of feminists at the time that he was bishop who weren't totally on board with what he was saying. But it seemed like the Post story was just shocked to learn that Mormons don't support divorce and don't believe in premarital sex and that they don't, they're not big fans of abortion. And, you know, whether you're Mormon or you're not, these are fairly traditional views that a lot of religious adherents have. And it's really shocking that this could be the lead of a story in a major paper expressing surprise that these are views that a religious figure might have.
We'll take a break when we come back. Just a few more minutes with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. I wonder if the template is just as simple as this. It's the sexual revolution. That's the template. And if you deviate from the script dictated by the sexual revolution and radical feminism, then the press just thinks you seem strange, even if your views are long held, ancient, well-known, and deeply established. You're deviating from the script of the sexual revolution. We'll see what Molly says about that on the other side of the break. Then, I want to know what you think about what women wear in church. Stay tuned.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Hey, St. Louis listeners, our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year, but you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want, Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 1st. We're talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org about Mormon views of sex and how it's covered in the media. Molly, I wonder if it's this simple. The template for much of the media is the sexual revolution. And if any group or any individual deviates from that script, it's considered odd. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that maybe there's a problem where reporters just aren't familiar with what most religious adherents think about sex and where it's reserved for marriage or something. And so when someone says it, they don't hear it in the newsroom. They don't hear it among their friends set. And so it's just very alarming to, you know, it seems like, well, that's a shocking thing. We must include it in the story. Was it really shocking that someone affiliated with the Mormon Church would say that premarital sex is not great? I mean, if that's shocking to you, you probably shouldn't be on that beat, because it's not shocking at all. And it's not really, you know, to present it as if that's the hook for the story is just bizarre.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.